Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Today's show, how do I honor my father and mother who act dishonorably, is one that is slightly out of character for me because of the religious subject matter. Let me preface things by saying that I do not condone or criticize any particular religion. I will readily admit that although I hold God and spirituality deeply in my heart 24/7, I am not a fan of organized religion. It resonates with many, but it does not resonate with me. It is a choice each of us is entitled to make, and we should respect that about each other. I selected today's topic, one that is ultimately about healing, after so many of my listeners requested that I discuss it. This is a topic that hits home for many of us. Many of us grew up with the message of obeying our parents, respecting them, and not questioning them, no matter the circumstance. And many of us have felt conflicted at one time or another for having to do so. According to the Bible, the merit of keeping that commandment is a long life, a good life, and a peaceful life. So, for those who live by God's word, the thought of breaking a commandment such as this induces great fear. How and whether or not to honor one's parents is a fundamental issue for many whom have suffered childhood abuse and still have not come to terms with it. Child abuse survivors who strive to follow the written law of God feel confused and torn when confronted with the words spoken by God and inscribed on the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother. It becomes a huge moral issue for them, one that creates feelings of inadequacy as well as an abundance of guilt. Even worse is when others judge them and preach to them that they must follow God's commandments, that they must honor their father and mother regardless of the circumstances. Someone tried to lay this guilt trip on me when I was conflicted, and it felt like a terribly low blow. So believe me, I know how painful it can be. Abuse takes many forms. It can be subtle or overt. It can be emotional, physical, or sexual. No matter what form the abuse takes, it is detrimental to a child's well-being. It cripples the child's spirit, and the effects can last a lifetime. Parents are supposed to provide emotional and physical security for their children. No matter the reason or method, failure to do so is abusive and damaging. As children, we don't understand what is happening to us while it is happening because it is all we know. But when we reach adulthood, the cruelty of our past becomes more and more apparent. The awareness of what we were subjected to becomes heightened. That leaves us feeling angry and resentful towards our parents. The realization that they failed us may create a dilemma. It may make honoring them a confusing, difficult, sometimes even impossible thing to do. Unless abusive parents take responsibility for what they did, seek help, and make amends, they most likely will continue to manipulate or be abusive with their adult children. This only compounds the moral dilemma of honoring them even more. What about parents who live amoral lives, have substance abuse issues, or parents who do evil things? Parents who we cannot honor or respect because they are dishonest and not respectful. It becomes increasingly difficult to reconcile our values with their ungodly actions. And what about parents we don't even know because they abandoned us when we were very young? Are we supposed to honor them? And if so, how do we do it? I don't know much about the Bible, but in my research for this show, I have noted the interpretations and impressions of a variety of Judeo-Christian clergy that have posted articles referencing this topic on the internet. According to these sources, the Bible portrays parents as wise, positive role models. Mothers and fathers, by biblical standards, are represented as people who love, nurture, teach, guide, and protect their children. It's easy to understand why we must respect and honor parents of that nature. The parents we have difficulty respecting and honoring are the ones who are not positive role models. The Jewish Talmud, a philosophical explanation of the Bible, explains that there are three partners in the birth of a child: the mother, father, and God. That means that birth cannot take place without God. When we honor our parents, we are essentially honoring God, who gave us life through our parents. We are all part of God, and each of our souls has a divine spark within. We role play in the physical world because we are here to experience and learn. We outlined our life and the experiences we needed to progress our souls before we came here. Nothing that happens is pointless or random. When we pass on and return to our spiritual home, we leave those roles behind. The roles we play are not who we truly are. Our parents are spiritual beings living a human experience, as we all are, souls who are honorable simply because they are each a part of God. The Bible does not command us to love our parents. It commands us to love God and honor our parents. Honor may include love, but it does not have to. Not all parents deserve the love of their children. So what does it mean to honor our parents once we reach adulthood and are no longer dependent on them? Honor does not have to be something we extend to our parents because they deserve it. We may extend it for many reasons, but at the very minimum, we give them honor simply because they are the ones who brought us here. They gave us life. And because they gave us life, we are able to make our unique contributions to the world we live in. For that, they are very valuable. So, honor in part is about valuing our parents for being the vessels that have brought us into this world and giving us life. It is about respecting the rank they hold in our lives and upholding their dignity as human beings. We can respect someone's rank and dignify them without agreeing with their choices and decisions, even when those choices and decisions impact our lives in a negative way. Honoring our parents does not include blindly following their advice or their lead. It does not mean condoning, enabling, or catering to their destructive behavior. It does not mean we are required to tell them they are wonderful or that we love them when we don't feel those sentiments or if they haven't earned them. The word honor is not synonymous with the word obedience. To honor our parents does not mean being subordinate to them or submitting to any form of abuse from them. We do not have to listen to put-downs, insults, or guilt trips. Respect is a two-way street. We do not have to stay in relationships with those who hurt us or those who sacrifice our hopes, dreams, and potential for them. And we should never put ourselves in harm's way or put up with their abuse. The authority of our parents was God-given, and they do not have the right to violate it. There is a distinct Judaic law that tells us that if parents tell children to do something that transgresses God's law, the children do not have to obey. The commandment to honor parents doesn't supersede God's ethical laws. When making the choice whether to follow our parents or God's law, we always defer to God. Though I have given an overview of what honoring our parents looks like, it may still be a difficult concept to embrace for those of us who have suffered or continue to suffer abuse from our parents. It is especially difficult to honor people who have hurt us when our wounds are open and festering and our scars have not healed. Commandment or not, I'm not sure that we can even consider the possibility of honoring parents who've hurt us until we have accepted our situation for what it is without any delusions or fantasies of it ever being different. Acceptance must come first, and it cannot come about while in the midst of tearing ourselves apart with guilt for not being able to comply with a commandment. Obviously, I cannot speak for God, but I do believe that God loves us unconditionally and only wants the best for us. God knows that we are human with human emotions. He understands that feelings must be processed, and that is something that takes time. God gave us life through our parents. We are to value that life and be the best we can be. When we honor our parents, we honor our life as well. But we cannot value our life if we do not love ourselves. It is not our fault if we had parents that never helped us build our self-esteem or whose actions destroyed whatever self-esteem we had. It is not our fault if we must take a hiatus from honoring our parents to work on ourselves and rise above the adversity. In many cases, that requires isolating ourselves from our parents for an undetermined period of time while processing our feelings and coming to terms with them. God knows our hearts and our intentions. We will not be punished for putting forth the efforts to improve ourselves. We will be rewarded for it. We are each entities unto ourselves with our own God centers. We are each responsible for respecting and loving ourselves. It is disrespectful to God to not nurture and protect the life He graciously blessed us with. As adults, our lives are our responsibility, not our parents. Their job is done. They may or may not have done a good job, but whatever happened took place in the past. What is done is done. A victim mentality gets us nowhere. Blame gets us nowhere. We must grow up. Find a way to take back the power we have allowed our parents to have over us for so many years and seize control of our lives. Before we can even entertain the thought of honoring our parents, we must forgive them. Forgiveness is a hard concept for many of us to grasp. Some think forgiveness is about letting our parents off the hook or reinforcing the bad things they have done to us. But that is not what forgiveness is about. Forgiveness does not justify their wrongdoings. We can forgive our parents without excusing their actions. We do not forgive for the sake of our parent or parents. We forgive to release the burden of our own resentments, resentments that keep us stuck in the pain of our past. We forgive so we can continue healing, growing, and evolving on our personal journeys. Forgiveness is a promise we make to ourselves to change our life. It's about releasing ourselves from the grip that hinders our well-being, the negative hold we have allowed our parents to have over us. We often wonder what motivates our parents to do, say, or act the way they do. If we try to lend balance to our viewpoint, try to view their lives from the perspective of the adult we are rather than the wounded child we were, we might get a clearer picture. We all have strengths and we all have weaknesses. No one is all good or bad. We all have redeeming qualities. We all have qualities that make our lives valuable. Yes, our abusive parents do as well. When practicing forgiveness, we should be mindful that there will be times when we will want to be forgiven by others. How can we ask for something we are unwilling to give? We should remember to always show the mercy, faith, and love that we expect to receive from others. But even with all that knowledge, forgiveness may be a long, difficult process for those of us with manipulative, abusive, or absentee parents. We have to come to terms with the fact that we may never be able to trust our parents or ever put our well-being in their hands. We have to let go of our unrealistic expectations that just set us up for repeated disappointment and heartache. Just because they gave birth to us does not mean they are equipped to parent us and meet our needs. Some of us must grow up and parent ourselves. We're about halfway through the show, so I'm going to take a brief break. I will continue this discussion immediately following the 1 minute musical interlude featuring the band Love Shadows' song, There's a Better Way. Enjoy. Stay tuned, and I'll be right back. Today's discussion, how do I honor my father and mother who act dishonorably? Part of the long, difficult process of forgiveness and healing may include confrontation. Some of us may choose to confront our abuser, and some of us may prefer not to go this route. It is difficult to confront parents who have hurt us, so it is essential to have a reliable network of people who love and care about us to support us before, during, and after this difficult, painful, emotionally charged exchange. Part of that support network may be a therapist who is skilled in helping us work through the feelings that come up. I found therapy tremendously helpful in helping me through this process. I don't know if I could have done it without her support. Another thing to take into consideration is whether or not we are emotionally ready for a confrontation of this magnitude. We should not take on this challenge if we are not emotionally stable enough to withstand it. Confrontations are only effective when they are executed in a mature, controlled, and direct fashion. Our parents are adults and should be treated like adults. Don't worry about them being too weak to deal with what we are confronting them with. They have lived many years and have gone through many hardships. They are strong enough to handle whatever truth we need to speak. If they can't handle what we have to say, it's not our problem, it's theirs. We just need to be straightforward and say whatever we need to say. Talk only about facts and feelings. We deserve to tell the truth, and they deserve to hear it. We must be careful not to lose control of the situation by allowing our parents to resort to denial, excuses, or pity parties. This is our time, not theirs. They had their turn. We are in charge now. It is very empowering to have finally gained the upper hand. Some people are fearful of direct confrontation. When that's the case, it is easiest to confront our parents through a letter or an email. This is the best way to avoid the possibility of having to face a backlash that we are unprepared for. It gives us time to calmly process our thoughts and address their responses. When confronting our parents, judgment, finger-pointing, and guilt will get us nowhere. Those who cannot restrain from needing to assign blame are well advised not to attempt a confrontation. It will be pointless and futile, and it will only escalate the problem for all parties concerned. We may feel the temptation to get back at our parents or even the school for whatever injustice was done to us, but that is not our job. It is never our job to judge or exact punishment on others for their transgressions. That is best left up to God and the karmic laws of the universe. It is unlikely that our parents will acknowledge or take responsibility for what they did to us. Abusers rarely admit to having abused. When and if they do, they tend to minimize what happened. It is unlikely they will accept accountability. If this is the outcome we are expecting, we will only set ourselves up for disappointment. This is something we do for us, not for the response we hope to receive. For parents who do accept responsibility and sincerely want to make things right with us, accountability, not remorse, is the key. Forgiveness can be given with or without the other party's accountability, but trust must be earned. In cases involving death or total abandonment, these methods of confrontation will be impossible, but there are other ways to do it when the other person cannot be present. Methods such as writing letters and not sending them, doing a ceremonial burning of meaningful objects, or empty chair therapeutic techniques can be effectively substituted. Some people find it healing to go to the dead person's grave and confront them there. Honor can be given by praying for their soul. Though we may be able to confront those who are no longer here, Sadly, it is impossible to repair those relationships. Consider taking the steps to do that before it is too late. For those of us who already have healthy relationships with our parents, it is probably the result of healthy relationship boundaries being in place. Boundaries are usually weak or non-existent in unhealthy parent-child relationships. Before we can ever hope to develop a workable relationship with abusive parents, we have to strengthen whatever boundaries are there or put them in place if they aren't. I discuss relationship boundaries in many of my shows because healthy relationships cannot exist without them. Boundaries are the limits in relationships that define where we end and the other person begins. They protect us by keeping the other person from crossing the line with us. It is extremely difficult to respect or honor parents that refuse to respect our boundaries. Boundaries are the way we keep abusive parents in line. It's not a mean or vindictive thing to establish them with our parents. It is rather a loving act. Consider this. It was the lack of boundaries, the boundaries our parents never established with us, that made us feel unloved. I was raised with poorly defined boundaries, and I lived most of my life that way, without ever even knowing it. My relationship with my parents was painful. I made terrible choices with my life. My life went from one disaster to the next. When I could stand it no longer, I sought the help of a doctor of psychology who specialized in family therapy. When I started therapy, I didn't know if I could ever have a healthy relationship with my parents or even see them again. So I worked with my therapist for about a year and a half, and I eventually was ready to gradually transition back into a relationship with them with the help of my therapist. I won't say it was easy to establish boundaries with my parents, but I will emphasize that it was worth all the effort. Now we have a comfortable relationship that is on my terms. I give because I want to give, not because it is expected of me. I used to try to protect my parents from the truth, and that was detrimental to my emotional and physical health. Now I am honest and straightforward. That is the only way our relationship can work. Truth is truth. Facts are facts. Speaking the truth about our parents to our parents does not dishonor them. The way in which we are comfortable honoring our mothers and fathers is likely to be different for each of us, as will the level of difficulty in doing it. It's all about finding the right balance. Here are some suggestions for ways to honor parents with whom we have difficult relationships with. We can honor our parents by being polite if and when we interact, by being respectful in word and action. It may mean listening to the same old stories over and over without interrupting. It may mean letting them know we are listening to what they have to say and considering their point of view. We can honor our parents by staying off the defensive, remaining quiet rather than erupting whenever they push our buttons, taking the high road even when we feel disrespected, setting a standard for ourselves of acting mature even when our parents don't, being the bigger person. We can honor our parents by talking kindly about them to others, by refraining from making disparaging remarks about them. We can honor our parents by praying that their hearts will be softened and that they may heal. In last resort cases, when all else fails and we must sever our relationships with our parents, we can honor them by accepting them for who they are, not expecting them to change, and not trying to save them. That may mean letting them live their lives in peace, however, or wherever that may be, and embracing our right to live our lives in peace. We are not required to submit to a persistent pattern of abuse or be a glutton for punishment in the name of honoring our parents. We are entitled to take back our power and honor them from afar. And finally, as I see it, the best way we can honor our parents is by doing whatever we can to establish honor for our family and all the generations that follow. We don't have to allow their legacy of bad parenting to continue. It's up to us. Let the buck stop here. Well, we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments about today's show or any other shows, feel free to email me at afinetimeforhealing@randygfine.com. Randy is always spelled R-A-N-D-I. Stop by my website, randygfine.com, and sign the guest book. I welcome feedback about my show, so you can leave comments for me there as well. And please stop by to visit me on my Facebook page, Randy G. Fine, and like me. My page is filled with inspirational picture quotes that you can enjoy and share. If you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower. More followers will get the show the recognition that it deserves. Visit my blog at randygfine.com for even more inspiration and join the list of devoted followers there. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is talk radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RandyGFine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. Be the change. Be